Okay, we're beginning here on the bottom of Pei Aleph Amud Bet. We're just going to quickly review the Mishnah and continue into the Gemara. The Mishnah said, Nitma Shalem Orubo, if the entire Korban HaPesach or the majority of it became Tameh, Sorfino told Lifnei Abirab, Miatzei Aracha, then you burn it in the Mikdash, and you get to utilize the wood that was otherwise designated for use on the Mizbeach. Nitma Miuto, if only a portion of it became Tameh Vanotar, or the leftovers of the Korban HaPesach, which also have to be burnt, then Sofino Tobe Chatzrotehen Ola Gogotehen, and they burn it in their courtyards or on their rooftops where they ate the Korban HaPesach, Matzei Atzman, you provide your own wood to do that burning. Matzei Kanin, Sofino Tolifnei Abira. On the other hand, the miserly people bring it back to the Mikdash and burn it with the wood of the Mizbeach, inside of the Mikdash, Bishvil, they anot Matzei Amaracha. That way they are cheaper. They don't have to bring the wood to do the burning. They get to take the wood from donated wood to Hekdesh. They get to utilize it. My time up. What's the reason that we ask him to burn it inside the Bira in the Mikdash? Is Amar Rabbi Yosi Baruch Hanina Kedei Levayshan, in order to embarrass them. These individuals who allow the Korban HaPesach to come to Tameh, so we make them do a public display, which is they burn it in the Mikdash in order to have everybody look on and say, what's going on here? What happened here? And they'll be embarrassed by the fact that it became Tameh. So that institution of the Chachamim to do it in the Mikdash in order to facilitate it happening, they had Lev Beit Din Matneh on the Atzei Amarachot that they could utilize for this purpose, which is also to burn the Kodoshim that became Tameh inside of the Mikdash. In addition to that, they also had that Tanai within the Atzei Maracha, that Saikanim, the Marsli people, could utilize the wood, because if we did not give them permission to utilize the wood, they wouldn't burn it. And if they didn't burn it, we'd have a bigger problem. So in order to, again, facilitate the burning of the Korban and make sure that it's taken care of, Leif Beit Din is not there that they can utilize the Atzei Maracha. Atzei Maracha, or Kedushat Damim, as we mentioned yesterday, they have value in terms of Hekdesh, but they're not Kedushat Aguf. Not like an animal that's going to go on the Mizbeach, and therefore Lev Beit Din Matan Elohim works according to everyone in that case. Mar says, Nitma Mi'uto, if only a portion of it became Tameh, Viraminu. Is that really true that we allow them to burn it where they are? We had early in the Masechta already, V'chei Mishi Atzah Mi'Yerushalayim, someone who left Yerushalayim, V'niskar Sheyesh Biyado Basar Kodesh, and all of a sudden he remembers, oh, I have Basar Kodesh with me, Im Avar Tzofim, if he passed Tzofim, Sofo b'mkomo, burns it in the location. Bim lav, choser v'zofor lifnei abira, me'atzei amaracha. Otherwise, he brings it back to the Beit HaMikdash and burns it with the atzei amaracha. So over there, we're talking about a case. Obviously, we're not talking about the whole Korban HaPesach, so we're talking about some small piece of it because it's yotzei or notar. And now he has to bring it back to the Mikdash to burn it in the Mikdash. So the two choices are either outside of the Tzofim, or if he's within the Tzofim, he has to go all the way back to the Mikdash. Our Mishnah is saying no Mikdash. In terms of the Tzofim, Rashi over here says that the Tzofim is Makom Sheyachol Lirot Misham Abira, from the word Tzofet, that you can see, you can look out. It's a location from which you can see the Mikdash. That is the way that Tosafot, earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Mem Tet, described the word Tzofim. Rashi, back on Mem Tet Avon Aleph, says that Tzofim was a name of location, a name of a specific place, or village that was outside of Yerushalayim. So it's interesting over here that Rashi gives the alternative, which is more generically a place from which you can see the Mikdash. It doesn't necessarily have to be the name of a specific village. It can be any location that has that visibility towards the Mikdash, which is the way that Tosafot himself translated it back on Mem Tet Amud Aleph. So now we have a steer up to our Mishnah and the case that we brought from back on Mem Tet Amud Aleph, where if he's already left Yerushalayim, he doesn't have to come back. But if he's within the area or the perimeter of Yerushalayim, he does have to return and return to the Mikdash to burn it there. Amar Rav Chama Bar Kokhba Lokasha Kan V'Achsanai Kan V'Baal HaBayit. Rav Chama Bar Kokhba offers a way to explain the difference between our Mishnah in that case over there, which is, depends who you're speaking about. If you're speaking about the Baal HaBayit, you're speaking to someone who's a local resident of the area, then we make a demand that he burns it in his location, because he's a resident, he has wood, he has the means by which to burn the Kodashim that are now Tameim. On the other hand, Bachsanai, a visitor, a guest, someone is here as, you know, as at a bed and breakfast, they don't necessarily have the means or the ability to bring wood because they're not carrying around wood. They don't have wood. So we'll see in a second, according to the way Rashi reads it, it's because, the Gemara will explain in 1 second, they have the same din as Tzaykanin. They have the same din as the miserly people. Just like the miserly people, we send them to the Mikdash to get the Atzei Merakha. These people are also, they're without the ability. The miserly people because of their personality. And these individuals because of the nature of who they are as guests. They don't have the ability to get Itzim, so we send them back to Mikdash to get Atzei Merakha. That's Rav Chama Ba'ukva. Rav Papa Amar, Papa suggests, Haba Bachsanai. Both cases are talking about a guest. Kan sheyachzik b'derach, kan shelo yachzik b'derach. Depends if he's on the way or if he's not on the way. If he is chzik b'derach, if he got on the way, lo yitrichu lachazer al eitzim. Once he's on the way, we don't ask him now to start collecting wood to put together to burn this item. He's already packed up. He's got all the stuff together. He's ready to leave. So he's on the road. So once he's on the road, we say, okay, go back to the Mikdash, get it done there. They have the wood. You can do it over there. If he hasn't left yet, then he's still like a resident here. He's unpacked. And once if he's staying, then we can ask him to go ahead and get wood, like he would if he was doing it for anything else that he needed in the city. So it depends on whether you're packed up or you're still visiting the city. That'll make the difference here. That's Rav Papa's position. Then we have Rav Zvid Amar. La'olam kida amar mi'ikaro. It's similar to what we said originally. Kan bachsanai, kan bebala bait. The way Rashi reads this is, the Rav Zvid is basically going back to Rav Chama Ba'ukva's solution and saying that Rav Chama Ba'ukva is right. And even though he didn't get on the road, Achsanai gave him the late lay. And Achsanai, since he doesn't have wood, Asua kitzaikanin. They made him into, like the miserly people, that's not a tzaikanim, sorfim, atolif nebira, bishvilei not, bianse emaracha. And he gets that same status. So the way Rashi reads this is, you have Rav Chama Ba'ukva, Rav Papa argues on him, and then you have Rav Zvid, who supports this position of Rav Chama Ba'ukva, and gives a reason behind it. He explains why the guest, even though he hasn't left or packed up yet, still has the right to go to the Atzei Merakha because he's similar to the case of Tzaykanin. That's the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. You can see in Tosfot has an issue with the way Rashi reads the Gemara because of this way that Rav Zvid expresses it, which is Rav Zvid Amar Le'olam. And so Tosfot says, whenever you say Le'olam, that does not mean Lefaresh. It never means to explain the previous statement. The olam means I'm disagreeing with what came before. And therefore, v'nira lo de Rav Chama Ba'ukva, Rav Papa lo plige. Based on that, he suggests that Rav Chama Ba'ukva and Rav Papa don't argue. And then Rav Zvid plige artarvayu. And Rav Zvid argues on both of them. That is because he basically says that Rav Papa and Rav Chama Ba'ukva didn't speak about the same case. Rav Chama Ba'ukva talked about Balabait versus Achsanai, and then Rav Papa himself went and differentiated within Achsanai. Just Rav Chama Ba'ukva never addressed Achsanai, which type of Achsanai. And that Rav Papa is already clearing. Then you have Rav Zvid come back and say, no, the Olam Achsanai, even if he doesn't get on the way, Apil Shelo Echzik Baderach, he still has a status of being machzik b'derach. And he's arguing on both of the previous two positions. That's one way to look at it. That's the way Tosfot brings it. Then he brings Inami, Rav Papa, v'Rav Zvid plige, Aliba, d'Rav Chama Ba'ukva. Rav Chama Ba'ukva makes a statement differentiating between Balabait and Achsanai. Now we have Rav Papa and Rav Zvid arguing within Achsanai, what's the din? Rav Papa is saying there's a bifurcation within Achsanai. Rav Zvid is saying there is no differentiation within Achsanai. Tosfot's point is just to make Rav Zvid, when he says the olam, means that he's got to be arguing on somebody or something here. So that's why he reads it that way, as opposed to Rashi, who simply says Rav Zvid's coming to explain Rav Chama Ba'ukva. So in the first instance, he says Rav Zvid's arguing on the two previous statements. In the latter explanation, Tosfot says that Rav Zvid is arguing on Rav Papa inside of the interpretation of Rav Chama Ba'ukva of Achsanai. What does Achsanai mean in that position of Rav Chama Ba'ukva? Tan Rabbanan. Ba'u l'sorfo b'chatzrotehem u'matzei amracha. Person decides that they want to burn it in their courtyard, but they want to use the wood of the atzei amracha. Ein shomim lehem. We don't listen to them. We don't offer them that opportunity. If they want to do it in the Mikdash with their own wood, we also don't listen to them. That's pretty straightforward, that they can't use the Atzei Merakha in their backyard. Because Dilma Faishin Minayu, because maybe they have excess wood. And that's just setting up for a bad situation. Because the wood is of Hekdesh. So maybe Beit Din made a Tanai that you can utilize it for this purpose. But still, if you have excess wood, it's got to be returned to the Mikdash. So you're just asking for trouble if you take the wood out, a high possibility that there's something wrong or this is going to be misappropriated somehow. You would think that's pretty good. If they come into the Mikdash, bring their own wood, so they're doing it in the Mikdash, plus they're supplying the wood. Why wouldn't you want that? My time alone, so why not? So Rav Yosef Amar, Shalo Yivayish et Misha Enlo. It's not to embarrass someone who doesn't have. So the point being that anybody who came back to the Mikdash had the right to use the Atzei Amaracha, because there were some people who couldn't afford the wood. Since they couldn't afford the wood, this is a way not to embarrass them, because everybody who came to the Mikdash utilized the wood of the Atzei Amaracha. So it basically levels the playing field when you're in the Mikdash. Everybody's using the wood of Mikdash, so can't tell it's because you can't afford it, can't tell because you're miserly, or can't tell because you're an Aksanai. Whatever the reason is, but it makes no differentiation, giving cover for people who can't afford the wood. Rav Amar, Mipnei HaChashad. The problem here is that of suspicion. Because what could happen here is that the individual brings wood to the Mikdash, and it turns out he brought too much wood. Now what's he going to do? When he finishes burning, he's going to walk out with the wood. The problem being, if he walks out with the wood, people are going to think he's walking out with the Atzei HaMaracha. Even though he brought the wood in, they don't tag it when you go in. This is not Maracha wood, so when he walks out, everybody knows that. So because of that, he's going to walk in, nobody's going to know that he brought the wood in, and he's going to walk out with the wood, people are going to say, man, this guy's walking off with the Atzei HaMaracha. So that's Mipnei HaChashad. My benayu, what's the nafkamina between these two reasons? Ike benayu, da'aitekani, v'chariyuta, d'lochazi, l'marocho. If he brings reeds, or palm wood, that are not ra'ui to be placed on the Mizbech. If he uses wood that is not wood that would be unused on the Mizbech, then it's obvious if he's carrying that wood out. He's not carrying out Atzei Maracha, he's carrying out his own wood. It's only when he uses wood that's similar to the wood that they use on the Mizbech would you have that issue arise. So that would be the nafkamina between them. If you use wood that's not used on the Mizbech, according to Rava, you would be able to do that in the Mikdash. Whereas according to Rav Yosef, you would not be able to use it because the issue of Busha still exists. It's not Hotam. We have a mission over there. Rosh HaMamad, Aya Mamidat Atmeim Ashar Mizrach. The head of the Mamad, Mamadot are the groups of Kohanim, when they were divided up into 24 Mamadot, each one of which served 1 week in the Mikdash on a cycle basis. Each one would do it and then they'd cycle back and do it again. It was a way to divide up the Avoda between the Kohanim in the Mikdash. So Mamad would come and then each day they had a Beit Av, one of the families or groups within the Mamad would work in the Mikdash. So there was a Rosh Mamad, who was a position of authority, of significance within the Mamad. So this person who arranged everything, used to organize the whole Mamad. In the morning, any Kohen that was Tamei, that could not serve in the Mikdash, that they were supposed to serve in the Mikdash, but because he was Tamei, he didn't serve in the Mikdash, he used to put him by the Eastern Gate. Now, side point, which is that the main entrance to the Mikdash was from the Eastern side. Today, we're so used to going from the western side. We go to the Kotel HaMaravi, the western side of the Mikdash. But the major entrance to the Mikdash was on the eastern side. That's because Ir David is to the southeast of the Har HaBayit. So Ir David is the main area of Yerushalayim. So if you were to enter the Mikdash from that side, you would come in on the eastern side of the Mikdash. And then you would enter facing the Azarah and then towards the Kodesh HaKodesh HaKodashim, which are towards the western side. So you'd be entering from the eastern side with the Kodesh HaKodeshim being the farthest west within the Mikdash. Today we visit on the western side for exactly for that reason, because the Kodesh HaKodeshim is closest to the western side. Shar Nikonor is a gate on the eastern side. It's an entrance to the Azara. So you have a Shar Mizrach, which is entering Har HaBayit. Then you have a Shar that enters into Ezrat HaNashim. And then you have Shar Nikonor, which enters into the Azara. So the Shar Mizrach of Har HaBayit, which is also known as Shar Shushana Birah, that's where they entered into Mikdash on a normal basis. Later on, they also extended, they put up what we know today as the Robinson Arch and the Warren Arch, which are bridges that led out from the western side of Har HaBayit, because the newer city of Yerushalayim, which is now what we call the Rova Yehudi, the Jewish quarter, that area was the newer city or the upper city, which was built later. In order to give access to that without having to go into the valley in between, they built a bridge across that allowed access from the western side. But the main entrance is from the eastern side. So if you want to put somebody in public, you stick them on the eastern side, because that's where everybody's going to enter into the Mikdash. And that's what he did. He put these Kohanim Tmehim, he stood them by the eastern gate. The question is, my time, why did he do this? So Amar Rav Yosef, Kedei Levayshan. Yosef says to embarrass them, in order that they won't be Tameh, that with some sort of sense that they were poshim, that they became tmeim when they were supposed to be doing the avodah. They weren't careful enough, otherwise they wouldn't become tmei. Now, as David pointed out before, look, sometimes it happens, it's really an accident, it's really an onus, maybe there they wouldn't stick them there. But anything that was quasi within your control, we say we try to discourage that type of behavior. Just like by the Korban of Pesach, we're trying to discourage that behavior. We're going to make you responsible so that in the future you don't make this mistake or you're more careful with it. Rav Amar, Ipnei HaChashad. Rav says the problem is that people will be choshed, these individuals, that they didn't want to work that day for the Mamad. They were making more money doing their regular job. So they didn't want to take off from work to come to do the Mamad. Because of that chashad, we put them by the eastern gate so people know the reason they're not working today is because they are tamei, not because they're not taking off of work. So my benayu, what's an afkamina? Meaning between them is ikar benayu mifanke. One difference between them is people who are otherwise spoiled or rich, they don't work anyway. You know, everybody knows that the option or the alternative is not for them to be working. And they would of course come here. It doesn't take anything for them to come and work over here. So that's certainly the chashad goes away. The inyan of busha still exists. Or inami de kagadil shishura. He twines rope. His profession is twining rope. So as Rashi says, that's a light profession that doesn't earn a lot of money, and therefore you wouldn't expect the individual to not give that up in order not to be in the mamad. Either one of those cases where it doesn't make sense that he would give up the mamad work to do his normal work, then in those cases we say he doesn't have to stand on the eastern gate if it's a problem of chashad. Again, if it's to embarrass him, then that would apply equally to all of these cases, and that's an afkamina between these two reasons.
It sounds very hard to believe, just because there was so much competition for these jobs. I mean,
instead of people making a decision to come, they were making a value decision. Am I better off working, or am I better off coming and getting the bonus from the Kohanim? They wanted to discourage that type of thinking. They don't want people making value decisions about the Avodah and the Mikdash. You're right, they might have had enough people anyway, but that thinking process, I think they wanted to discourage, which is that this isn't a monetary discussion. You have to be here to do the Avodah. Okay, next Mishnah. Pesach Shiatza, Oshin Nitma, Pesach that leaves Yerushalayim, or it became Tameh, Yisaref Miyad, you burn it right away. That's otherwise known as Psulo Bigufo, and therefore it's burnt right away. Nitma Ubalim, and then if the problem here is that the Balim became Tameh, Oshin Meitu, or they passed away, Tubar Tzurato. Then you have to leave it overnight for lino before you burn it. You don't burn it immediately. You wait till it goes, quote unquote, bad. But it means leaving it overnight because then it becomes psul begufo, because then it becomes notar. And then you burn it. Yisareif b'shishasar. And then you end up burning it on the 16th. Now, truthfully, in this instance, there isn't much nafkamina in terms of a Pesach Shiatza or Shinitma if it's already on the 15th. It's already on the 15th. When we say Yisareif miyad, it's not really true because we already discussed the fact that you're not allowed to burn Kodashim on Yom Tov itself. So since you can't burn Kodashim on Yom Tov itself, even if you say Yisareif Miyad, you're still going to have to wait till the 16th to burn it anyway. Either way, you're going to end up on the 16th. If it's on Erev Pesach, then you have a different story. Then Yisareif Miyad will have impact versus the case of Tubar Tzurato. Yochanan Mebroko Omer, Avze Yisareif Miyad. Even this case, you burn it right away. Lefishein Lo'ochlim. You're missing people to eat the Korban of Pesach. And obviously, we have learned over and over again that the Achilat HaPesach is significant with regards to Korban HaPesach. And therefore, here he considers it unique in the case of the Korban HaPesach that if you lack eaters of the Korban HaPesach or something went wrong with the ability to eat the Korban HaPesach, that's equivalent to Psul Begufo with regards to Korban HaPesach. Bishlama Tamei, I understand the din of Tamei, where you learn that from, Dichtiv. It says in the Pasuk, Habasar asher yiga b'chol tamei, lo ye'achel, ba'esh yisareif. Basar that becomes tamei, can't eat it, you burn it. Straightforward Pasuk tells us what you do with it, so that's why yisareif miyad. El yotze minalan. How do we know that if it leaves the confines in which it is supposed to be, for Kodshim Kalim, for Korban HaPesach means the walls of Yerushalayim, how do I know if it leaves that area that it's burnt right away? Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, this is by the story of Moshe and Aaron. It's after the passing of Nadav ve'Avihu. And then Aaron is doing the Avodah of the Yom HaShmini. Moshe comes and asks Aaron about the Seir. Why did you burn the Seir? Why didn't you eat it? In that questioning that Moshe has of Aaron, he says, Hein lo huva dama el kodesh pnima. Well, was the blood not brought into the kodesh pnima? This is a rule about all chataot. Any chatat whose blood is taken inside the heichal requires that it be burnt. So here, the statement of Moshe Rabbeinu is, well, why didn't you eat it? Why didn't you eat the korban? It's in a question sense. Did you bring the blood inside of the Eichal? That's why you're not partaking of it. That's not why you're not participating over here. Aaron answers in the negative. None of these were the problem. Amar lo Moshe Aaron, Madu lo achaltem et hachatat? Why didn't you eat the chatat? Shema nichnas dama lifnai v'lifnim. Maybe you took the blood of this chatat and brought it into the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kodashim. Amar lo, laugh. No, that wasn't the case. Maybe it went outside of its normal area. I mean, for Chatat, the limitations are the walls of the Azara or the Mishkan itself in this case, the Chatzer or Moed. Maybe it went out of that area, and that's why it requires burning. It was always in the Kodesh. One of the questions is obvious from the Pasuk, which is, you didn't bring the Medam inside, so that we have. The second question that Moshe poses, which is maybe there was Yotze, but that's not mentioned in the Pasuk. Rashi claims it has to do with the extra Lashon of Pnima. So the fact that the extra Lashon of Pnima means something that should have been Pnim got out. So something that should have been in the Chatzer Moed went out of the Chatzer Moed. Because of that extra Lashon, that's why we dodged in the additional question that Moshe asked. Again, it's not obvious from the Pasuk that Moshe asked the question. But that's the Masorah they have with regards to this Pasuk. If it was taken out, that would also be problematic. So Moshe says to Aaron, listen, if it didn't go into the Eichal, and it didn't leave the Azara, then Madu alo achaltem ota? Why didn't you eat it? Michlal, we would conclude from that, the Nafko had it gone out, or had the dam been brought inside the Kodesh HaKodashim, or really into the Eichal, it would require burning. This is, as Tosafot points out, a quantum leap. The only thing Moshe asked them was, Madu lo achaltem? Why didn't you eat it? So the question Moshe is posing is, why didn't you eat the Korban? Aaron's response is, I'll tell you why I didn't eat the Korban. And here's the information. What information is missing from here is that it doesn't say that they burnt it right away. Or Yisareif Meyat. Moshe is not opining on this Sreifa here. Darash Moshe. Moshe looked into it. Vinei Sarath. It was burnt. But Moshe, in this conversation, is not addressing whether the burning was the correct decision. The only question is, why didn't you eat it? And Aaron explains why he doesn't eat it. And Moshe acquiesces in the end to that reasoning. But that only has to do with the Achila. What you haven't solved the problem is Sreifa. So Tosfot says in the end that it must be that the Gemara understands it this way. Or the bright that when Moshe is asking him about that, he's not only addressing the Achila aspect, it's also addressing the Sreifa part of it. Because otherwise, we don't have any proof from this. And the whole sugi assumes that there's a proof from this Medrash that there is Sreifa Miyad when it comes to these situations. So now Gemara says, we have Tamei, which is a case where you burn a Miyad. That's from the Pasuk. The case of Yotze, we have from this Midrash about what transpired or conversation happened between Moshe and Aaron. So now we also know that it is Nisraf. Now, Bishlam Nitma Gali Rachmana Bekodshim Kalim. It works well by the case of Nitma, because the Pasuk that we quoted before is found in the Parsha of Shlamim. Since it's found in the Parsha of Shlamim, the din is brought by Kodshim Kalim. Kosha came by Kodshim Kodashim. I could extrapolate that to Kodshim Kodashim because they are more chamur. So if by the Kal it's Sareif Miyad, then certainly by the more chamur you would be Sareif Miyad. Ela Yotze, the problem with Yotze is we brought it from the case by Moshe and Aaron, that conversation happened between them. That was thinking about a Korban Chatat. Korban Chatat is Kodshei Kodashim. So that means Ashkachan Kodshei Kodashim. We have a Pasuk for Kodshei Kodashim, Kodshim Kalim, Minalan. What about Kodshim Kalim? How do you know that they are Yisreif Miyad? Again, you can't extrapolate from the case of Chatat, because that is Kodshei Kodashim. You can't extrapolate to Kodshim Kalim. Maybe Kodshim Kalim are lighter, and they would not require Sreifa. V2. In addition to that, Hatanya, we have a Breita, Landama. If the blood was left overnight, it wasn't put on the mizbeach. Nishpach dama, or the blood spilled. Yatza dama chutz deklaim, or the dam left the area of the azara. Tekaimelan bisreifa minolan. How do we know that you have a sreifa in that case? Nafkalan mid Rabbi Shimon. We learned that from Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon omer, bakodesh ba'esh tisareif. So if it's in the kodesh, it gets burnt. Limeid achatat. We learn from this that the chatat gets burned by kodesh. I only know about the chatat. How do I know about the remainder of kodesh kodeshim, which would be on an equal plane with the chatat? And the emurim. The emurim are the fats of the kodesh kalim, which end up on the mizbeach. Those kodesh kalim have the same din of kodesh kodeshim, which means they have to remain within the azara. Minayim, Tamalomar Bakodesh, Ba'esh Tisaref. So anything that is Kodesh is Ba'esh Tisaref. Fine. Again, I have the information about Kodshei Kodeshim. I'm still lacking the information about Kodshim Kalim. That's what Gemara says. Ashkechan Kodshei Kodeshim. So far, all you've solved the problem for is Kodshei Kodeshim. Kodshim Kalim mean. Ellen, where would we know Kodshim Kalim from? Ella. Kol psulova kodesh b'sreifa. Lo shna kodshim kalim. Lo shna kodshei kodeshim. Gemara gemirela. The answer is that it's really alocha lemoshe misinai. And it makes no difference between whether it is kodshim kalim or kodshei kodeshim. So that's the solution to the problem. Psukim are nice. That's not really the source. The source is alocha lemoshe misinai. Right? The source is being alocha lemoshe misinai. We don't differentiate between kodshei kodeshim and kodshim kalim. That's part of the misora. V'chatat v'aron. Now what are you going to do about the chatat of Aron? Just before we learned out of the chatat Aron, when it comes to Yotzei, by a Kodshei Kodeshim at least, because that was a chatat, that you have to be Yisoreif Miyad. What am I going to do with that limud? Where it says, V'shum Ma'ase Shaya Kachaya. The Torah there is not trying to give you halachic information of how to do it. It's just telling you what happened. And happened to be that this was the case of what happened. So yes, it matches up, and Moshe's asking about this information. And sure enough, it works out, but that's not what the intent of the Torah was over there. The intent of the Torah was simply to relate to us, or relate to us, the story that transpired between Moshe and Aaron. It happens to be that, halakhically, it works out that it's also the right din, but that's not necessarily what the Torah was after over there, because what we get it from, or the information that we are looking for, comes from Halakha the Moshe Misinai. Okay, now, Ulatana Debei Rabba Baravua, we bumped in earlier in the Gemara, who says, Damar afilu pigul ta'on ibur tzura. He says, even when psulo b'gufo, it needs ibur tzura, minolon. How does he know that that's the case? He has no sreifa miyad. So where does he know that from? We have the limud for those that say sreifa miyad. What about for him that says there is no sreifa? Yalif avon, avon mi notar. Turns out exeris shava of avon from pigul to notar. And just like pigul is a psulo b'gufo, and because of the exeris shava avon avon, it says you have to be notar before you burn it. So notar is the equivalent of lina, being left over. So he basically says that I have a gzer shava of avon avon between pigul and notar. It's a gzer shava that exists for other issues as well. I mean, this is not the only time that we use this gzer shava. But because of that, the comparison to notar tells me that pigul must look like notar before you burn it. How do you make pigul look like notar? Tubar tzureto, you leave it overnight, you do lina. Where it says, v'nalif avon avon mechatat aron. Also by the pasuk, by aron, it says, the avon is also mentioned there. So why don't you put the avon from pigul, connect it with the avon by aron, and that would suggest that you would have to burn it right away if you learned it that way. The Gemara says, "Amalecha chatat aron ki aygavna nabi ibur tzura ledorot boi." Happens to be that chatat of aron was a unique circumstance, what we call horat sha'a, sak for the moment. This was a unique circumstance. But ain't Ochanami, this situation by Aron, outside of this one case, would have the same din, which is the Dorot, it would have a din of Ibur Tzura. The only information that you can prove from Aron is even if you did the Avon Avon, you had that Gzera Shava, is that for that time period, for that Horat Shah, that was the din. But to extrapolate from that to the Dorot, that we couldn't do. With Adam Horat Shah Ita. Because over there, it was a Horat Shah, it was a one-time case, and we're not going to extrapolate from it. Now, which seir we were speaking about here? There was a number of karbanot brought on that day, and a number of seirim as well. One of the possibilities is it's the seir of Nachshon. The Nisiim also brought their karbanot on the Shniyom HaShmini, or Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Nachshon ben Ammi Nadav was the first of Nisiim to bring it. So his karbanot were brought on the eighth day, or on the Miluim, on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So one possibility of the seir that we're speaking about here is the seir of Nachshon. That's one possibility. The other possibility is it happens to be Rosh Chodesh as well. And Rosh Chodesh, as we know, has a Seir Lechatat. So it could have been that Seir. Tosafot tends to lean in the favor of saying that it was the Seir Chatat, whereas Rashi over here notes that it was the Seir of Nachshon. Rashi in Chumash mentions that it's also the Seir of Rosh Chodesh, because we're talking about something that was not covered by the din of the day. So we want to talk about a Korban that's not part of the day, but rather something that's a part of the normal course of Avodah and the Mikdash. And that's Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh is a normal course, where Seir of Nachshon is still something unusual. That's not something that came every day, and that should be a one-time effect also. Gemara says, Hashad Amrinan Kol Psulei the Kodesh B'Sreifa. Now we have the conclusion that anything that is Pasul in Kodesh is B'Sreifa. Lo shna de kodshe kodashim, velo shna kodshim kalim, gemara gemirila. So we make no differentiation between kodshim kalim and kodshe kodashim because it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So now we have all the information, halacha l'moshe m'sinai. What do you do with bakodesh ba'ish tisareif lomali? What do you do with the pasuk of bakodesh ba'ish tisareif? You don't need that anymore. That's how we learned out anything that's psulo bakodesh goes to the fire. We have that from halacha l'moshe m'sinai. It says, how mibayle shisreifata bakodesh. That comes to teach you that the burning of the Kodeshim are in the Kodesh. Or, in other terms or other words, wherever the Korban could have gone, that's where you can burn it. So Kodeshei Kodeshim, which can't exit the Azara, then if something goes wrong, you have Psula B'Gufo, you burn them in the Azara. Kodeshim Kalim, which can be in all of Yerushalayim, something goes wrong with them, then you can burn them anywhere in Yerushalayim. V'abasar, asher yigah b'chol tameh lo ye'achel b'eishi tzareif lamali. So then what do I need the pasuk about Tum'ah? So we could have learned out Tum'ah from the pasuk. There we were fine learning out Tum'ah from the pasuk. What's the story now with that pasuk? So how the gufa yitzrich? We need that to tell us that information. In a case where the dam was left overnight, or the dam spilled, or the dam went out of its location, meaning outside the Azara, at night, all of those cases are sreifa because it's psul begufo. The letnehu bechulin. It's unique to kodashim. These are all dinim that are specific to kodashim, have no application outside of kodashim. All of these problems are problems for kodashim in the world of kodashim. Aval nitma, if it came to me, de bechulin ami mifsal. Tuma applies both to kodashim as well as to everyday mundane items. Tuma and tara have the same application. So something coming to me is problematic for the korban, but it's also problematic in terms of chulin. Now you can't eat it b'tara, you can't eat together things that are tohrim. It has impact in terms of tuma in the world of chulin. Yes, you could, but it still causes problems. It has impact on the chulin, you're right. It's not that the chulin cannot be eaten now, like unlike kodashim, which cannot be eaten when they become tamei. Chulin can be eaten or consumed once it's tamei, but it does create limitations for the chulin once it becomes tamei. Someone who keeps bitara can't eat it. Somebody who has kodashim or truma in possession, he can't have it there because it'll make them tameim. So it does have impact. It's changed the status of this item by it becoming tamei. So that's why it has application in chulin. It's not the same exact din, but it has application within chulin. The idea being that it finds its place within the world of chulin. So now, I would have thought, ema hoil, beit avid bei uvdin de chol, since you did something that is chol to it, ema loti bei sreifa, maybe it doesn't require sreifa. Betiske lebi kvura, it'd be sufficient to bury it to get rid of the takala aspect. Mashmalon, that's not the case, and even by tumah, we go to sreifa. So had it been simply for the halacha l'moshe m'sinai, we may not have come to that conclusion because tumah might be a different world, a different category entirely, because it has application within the world of chulin. So along comes the pasuk to teach you, that tumah has the same din as all other psulei guf, jazat isareif miyad. Alright, next is nitmu balim oshumeitu. The balim passed away, they died, to bar tzuratan. Then you have to do this lean or leave it over, you can't burn it right away. Amar Rav Yosef. Machloket shenitma'u balim achar zrika. The machloket is only if the balim became tmeim after zrikat adam was done. Did chazei basar le'achila, because the basar of the korban was already ra'u le'achila. So then if it becomes tmei, then we have this disagreement of whether yisareif miyad, or you have to wait. Aval nitma'u balim lifnei zrika, if the balim became tmeim before zrika, t'lo chazei basar le'achila. Basar was never ready for achila, divrei akol yisareif miyad. Then everybody agrees you can burn it right away because it never really left the world of Kodesh. And by Pesach, that's Tulo Bigufo, because without Achila, you don't have a Korban Pesach, and this person's going to need Nidchei to Pesach Sheni. Meitavit. Is that really true? Zaklal. Kol Shepsulo Bigufo, Yisareif Miyad. Anything where the Psul is inherent to the animal or because of the animal itself, then you burn it right away. B'damu B'balim Tu Bar Tzurato. When it comes to something, there's a problem with the Dam or the owners of the Korban, then it's left over, that lina done, it's not nisareif miyad. It's say the beta srifa, and after it's left over, it'll be taken out the beta srifa. Tani, balim dumya de dam. Over here, it compares balim to dam. It says nisareif miyad, bidam ube balim. Bidam and balim, it gives them the same din. So now, ma dam lifnei zrika, balim lifnei zrika. Dam becoming tamei or having a problem is only an issue, it's before zrikat adam. Once you've done the Zrikat Adam, whatever happens to the Dam is not really relevant because it's not going on the Mizbeach and you've attained Kapara already. So the fact is that if we're talking about Dam, we're definitely talking about Lifnei Zrikat. If that's the case, then the Balim that are parallel to Dam in this Braita should also be Lifnei Zrikat. Eloit mar hachit mar. Let's amend this statement of Rabbi Yosef, and this is the way it should read. Machloket shenitmu Balim Lifnei Zrikat. The machloket in our Mishnah is whether Yisareif Miyad or Tubar Tzurato is in a case before Zrika, because the Basar never became Ra'oid Achila. Therefore you have a Psul Beguf. If the Balim go bad after Zrika, the problem is after Zrika, that the Basar was already ready for Achila, everybody agrees that that's an external or an exogenous variable making it problematic, and therefore requires ibur surah, it has to be left overnight for lina in order to become problematic. So what you have here is the balim lifnei zrika. The balim before the zrika tadam have a status of having heavy impact on the korban, because the balim have to eat from the korban. They are integral part of this korban in order to make a kasher, is that they're going to eat from it. So therefore, before Zrika, they're the equivalent of psul begufo, at least according to one mandamar. The other mandamar, it's still tubar tzurato, it's still ba'alim. But at least we entertain that possibility according to one of them, that it's isareif miyad. On the other hand, after Zrika, the ba'alim are in a sense no longer relevant, because the basar reached a point where it could have been eaten, even though it didn't get eaten, but the ba'alim being eliminated from the process here. Alright, that's after the fact. That is, we'll call it bidiyavad. And because it's bidiyavad, we're gonna say everybody's gonna grade tubar tzurato. We have to wait overnight before you burn it. You don't burn it right away, because that's not psulo bigufo. Rabbi Yochanan now argues on Rabbi Yosef. I just say as a sidebar, this is interesting because Rabbi Yosef is a contemporary of Rabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan is, first of all, in Eretz Yisrael, and you have Rabbi Yosef in Bavel, and they don't live in the same generation. They're 2-3 generations apart in terms of Amoraim. So the fact that you have Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yosef arguing here is interesting. Obviously the Gemara is putting it together. Probably, in all likelihood, is they never had the argument. It was simply the Gemara bringing both of their positions down together over here. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar, after Chazrika, Nami Machloket. Even after Zrika, Kata Dam, it remains a Machloket, meaning that the question of whether this is psul begufo, or is this an issue of simply psul in the balim, which is an external issue, that machloket between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and the Tanakam and the Mishnah persists both before Zrikat Adam and after Zrikat Adam. Even after Zrikat Adam, there is no agreement that everybody says that it's not a psul begufo, but even after Zrikat Adam, he also maintains that it is a psul begufo.
Okay, so as the Rabbi Yochanan the Tamei, Rabbi Yochanan the Shitato, Dam Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Rabbi Nechemi, Amru Davar Echad, that these two Tanaim have the same position. Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Adam Ran, is from our Mishnah. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is Yisareif Miyad. When you have a psul in the Baalim, you still Yisareif Miyad, because that's the equivalent of psul begufo. Rabbi Nechemi Amahi, where do we find that Rabbi Nechemi has a similar position? The Tanya have a brighter. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Mipnei Aninut Nisrafa Zu. This is going back to the Chatat by Aaron. The Chatat Aaron, why did they burn it? Because Aaron was a Onein. Onein because his two children had just passed away. Nadav Avihu had just passed away on the Yom HaShmini. And he's required to eat these karbanot on Yom HaShmini. The Kach Ne'amar Ka'ele. Similar to this. So now Gemara says, V'ha Aninut Kila Achar Zrika Havyo. Aninut is the equivalent of a problem of post-Zrika. V'chi Yisteruf, La'alten Yisteruf. And when it was burnt immediately. Because we have the case of Aninut, which has the equivalent status of Achar Zrika. Since it has the equivalent status of Achar Zrika, and it was burnt right away, that means that Rabbi Nechemi has that same position, that a psul in the Balim, even after Zrika, is a problem that leads to Sreifa. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Now there's a machloket both before and after Zrika. Even after Zrika, we have Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka holding his position, that Yisareif Miyad. And we have Rabbi Nechemiah saying the same thing about post-Zrika.
Why is it like post?
So why is Aninut post-Zrika? So that is because Aninut affects a regular Kohen. A regular Kohen that's an Onein cannot perform Avoda in the Migdash. The Kohen Gadol, who's an Onein, can perform Avoda in the Migdash. That a Kohen Gadol, because of his standing or his stature, the Aninut does not affect his ability to do Avoda in the Migdash. According to
part of this story is that Moshe asks him, well, maybe your children did the avoda, and that's why you have a problem here. Maybe it was Eleazar v'Itamar that did the avoda, and a kohen onen that does avoda is nechlal, meaning that the avoda is no good. So Aaron says, no, I did the avoda, and everything's fine. That as far as doing the avoda is concerned. Achila, there's no permission for the onen to consume the korban, even an onen kohen gadol. So that means the case of aninut here is a case of lachar zrika. Because we can accomplish the zrika, because Aaron can do the zrika, because he overrides the problem of aninut. But once the zrika is done, he can't eat the korban. So that's why it's the equivalent of post-zrika, because that's exactly what he's permitted to do the zrika, but not to do the achila. And we say that it was nisraf miyad. Since it was nisraf miyad, you can prove from this that achar zrika with balim, at least Rabbi Nechemiah has this position that it is nisraf miyad. And since Rabbi Yochanan correlated between Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemiah, that means that he thinks Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is also post-zrika, and nevertheless requires yisaref miyad, it's burnt right away. Rabba Mosif, of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Rabba adds on an additional individual who has the same position as Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemiah, which is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Again, this is interesting because it's Rabba. Rabba was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef, makes sense that he's in this position. The fact that he's adding on to Rabbi Yochanan's statement, again, has to be much later in the time period because he's not a contemporary of Rabbi Yochanan. So it sounds more like this discussion was posed in the time of Rabbi Yosef and Rabba, and they just brought in the position of Rabbi Yochanan within that context of this discussion. Titania, Rabbi Yosef Aglili Omer, Kol Anyan Kulo, Enim Medaber Ela, Biparim Hanisrafim, Usrim Hanisrafim, This whole incident, the cholachadat, asher yuva midama pnima, so that issue that was being discussed, that we said before that any chatat achitzuna, which is brought lifnim, therefore requires it be burnt. We said before, Moshe asks Aaron the question, did you bring this korban chatat into the eichal? Because any chatat achitzuna that is brought into the eichal automatically goes to sreifa. So now, we suggested that by the case of Aaron, that was Moshe's question. Was this a chatat achitzuna who has blood taken into the eichal? That's why it was required to be burnt. What Rabbi Yossi Aglili says is pasuk in Vayikra Vav, which says, v'chol chatat asher yuva midama pnima, talking about a case of these parim nisrafim or sreim nisrafim, who normally have their blood taken into the eichal. The din of those animals is that they are burnt, which is the din. Sukim, by each of those, the Sarim and Israfim and the Parim and Israfim, the din is that you have to burn them, because the blood does go in. And he says that Pasuk in Vayikra Vav that discusses it is talking about them. So it's coming to teach you that, number one is to tell you where do you burn them, in the Mikdash, and to put a lota said that you may not eat them. Amrlo, chatach, nichnas damal lifnai lifni minayim. How do you know that a chatat, a regular chatat achitzona, that's taken in, also has this same din? Amarlen, hein lohuvat damayel akodesh penima? Oh, that is the story by Aaron and Moshe. He asked the question over there. Michlal, di nafik ihi, the implication from that is that if it went out, inami ayod dama, or had it gone in, bisreifa, it would have been bisreifa. So the implications from this are that the movement of the dam into the heichal, or the dam leaving the azara, would it ended up with a situation in which you would have burnt it. This goes back to the way we originally discussed the problem by Aaron, but now he's saying that the problem was dam. We saw before in the Braita that dam and balim had the same din. So over here, what Rabba is suggesting is Rabbi Yossi Aglili tells us by the din of dam, if you have a problem in the dam, nisraf miyad. Well, if you have a problem by dam, it's nisraf miyad, so too, the same should be the din by ba'alim. And so that's his extrapolation. Dam and ba'alim have the same din. Over here, by dam, I see that dam pnima or dam achutza would have resulted in sreifa. And that's the whole question of Moshe to Aaron based on that. Was the blood taken in? Was it taken out? So then, he extrapolates that. Rabbi Yochanan Savar, damu basar chada miltihi. Rabbi Yochanan didn't bring Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Why did Rabbi Yochanan only say Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka and Rabbi Nechemiah have the same position? Why did he leave out Rabbi Yossi Aglili? Because he believes dam and basar are in the same category, whereas balim miltachritahi. Balim are a totally different category. So Rabbi Yochanan did not include
this statement of Rabbi Yossi Aglili because it was speaking about Dam, and he won't extrapolate from Dam to Baalim. The proof that he had brought from Nehemiah was talking about a case where we're talking about Baalim, a case where the Kohen Gadol and the Kohanim could not eat the Korban, so it was a Korban that had nobody to eat it. That was talking about Baalim. From that I can learn a din about Nisrafim Biyad, but I can't learn that din from Dam and then extrapolate it to Baalim. Because Dam and Basar are one category that deal with Sulo Begufo versus Baalim, which are a different category. And if you don't tell me something about the Baalim directly, I'm not going to then take a din in Dam and extrapolate it or move it over to Baalim. Now, as far as the Rabbonon who argue on Rabbi Yossi Aglili, over here Rashi explains,
and the Rabbonon who disagree with Rabbi Yossi Aglili and say that that's not the case, say we can't learn it from here. We need the Pasuk in Vayikra Vav to teach us this din about the blood going to the Echal going out, because that Pasuk in Vayikra Vav is Dorot. This case is a case of Shah. So I can't learn from here. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Aglili is wanting to learn from here because even though it's Kodshei Shah, it's about Kodshei Dorot. I mean, it was about the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. It's about the Seir of Nafshon. So that's why I'm willing to talk about it, the Dorot. That's their Machlokas. Tosafot over here disagrees with Rashi. He says, Mashu perish kein lo mishum techatat aron aya l'sha'a. That's Seir of Rosh Chodesh aya. And what do you mean it's a Kachay Sha'a? We're talking about Seir of Rosh Chodesh. Seir of Rosh Chodesh is a Kachay Dorot. So why can't you learn from it? El Kasavi Rabbanan Horat Sha'a Haita. Not that it was Kachay Sha'a, but rather Horat Sha'a. It was a unique circumstance. And that's why the din here was unique. And that's why they didn't want to learn out of it, because of the Horat Sha'a, not because of Kodshei Sha'a. So Tosafot changes the nuance in Rashi's statement about it being Horat Sha'a rather than Kodshei Sha'a, because we're talking about Seir Rosh Chodesh. Whereas Rashi just seems to say, oh, well, if this is a din in the Kodshim Sha'a, so therefore you can't learn it out to the Dorot. That might relate to which Seir they thought it was. Rashi reports that it was the Seir of Nachshon, but Tosafot says the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. So Seir of Rosh Chodesh is Kodshim Le Dorot, and therefore Tosafot has to say we're talking about a Horat Sha'a rather than Kodshei Sha'a. Rashi, who before said it was Seir of Nachshon, could say that we're talking about, right, the Shittato could say we're talking about Kodshei Sha'a. And it might be what pushed Rashi to do that is this case by Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who says, oh, the Rabbanan don't learn it, it's Kodshei Sha'a. So it must be we're talking about one of the items that day was Kodshei Sha'a, which was the Seir of Nachshon, not the Seir of Rosh Chodesh. Alright, we'll stop over here.
Well,